Morning on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Yesterday was the first day of the three-month fall open enrollment period for the estimated 300,000 Marylanders who still do not have health insurance, but who are eligible to buy it under the provisions of Obamacare, officially known as the Affordable Care Act. Marylanders who buy their own health insurance have to go through the state-run exchange. The Maryland Health Benefits Exchange was created in 2011 and promoted by then-Governor Martin O'Malley as a model for the nation. The rollout in 2013, of course, was a mess. Since then, a series of federal and state audits found instances of poor management and flawed accounting practices. They also cited lax security, which the auditors said could have put enrollees' personal data at risk. The exchange appeared to function well during last spring's enrollment period, and the exchange's executive director, Carolyn Quatrochi, told us that her agency has already begun fixing many of the problems identified by the auditors. She spoke with Maryland Morning producer Rob Sivak on Friday.
While we did disagree with some of the way they characterized the findings and the underlying findings, the really important point here is that the audit ended well over a year ago, and we had begun to address the recommendations of the audit before we even knew they were recommendations, really, before the audit ended. And so now we have addressed well over two-thirds of the recommendations. The auditors have said that we're on track, that what we've done addresses their concerns, and we should address the balance of them, you know, in early 2016. And with respect to security specifically, we have multiple layers of redundant security. So even the items that the audit focused on were just a couple of among very many layers of security. So it's a hugely high priority for us, and we don't have any concerns in that regard.
When the exchange was first rolled out in October 2013, it was something of a disaster. It crashed immediately, and it took months and cost millions of dollars to bring back online. Do you think the site has redeemed itself since those dark days? And given this past year's performance, do you think that the public confidence in the Maryland Health Benefits Exchange is restored?
Well, you know, I think it really has been restored. We've enrolled over 700,000 Marylanders at this point. 9 out of 10 of those Marylanders get financial assistance to help them afford it. $190 million in tax credits that Marylanders have received to enable them to get health coverage and be, you know, have access to better health care. All of those benefits are really tremendous, and we're very proud of them. But, you know, it's also not just that the people who are now insured who weren't insured before have benefited, but when you look at it from a larger perspective, you know, it was just a few years ago that we saw 15% of Marylanders were uninsured, and the Census Bureau reported that we've cut that in half as of 2014. So that brings benefits to everyone. You know, we reduce uncompensated care in the state, and we have a healthier population.
What's your expectation for this open enrollment period, the fall period? How many of those 300,000 still uninsured Marylanders do you think will eventually become insured?
Well, we're going to do our very best, Rob. You know, we have a streamlined application. We've worked very hard over the last 6 months to make further improvements in the application. We now sell dental plans online, which we weren't able to do last year. It's more mobile-friendly. We have, you know, 1,500 experts out in the field who can offer in-person assistance to folks. So we really are trying very hard to reach the remaining uninsured. We're being very targeted. In fact, we've worked with a research institute to identify the areas of the state where the highest uninsured are remaining, and we'll really be very targeted and strategic in trying to reach those areas in particular. So we're mounting an all-out effort.
That's Carolyn Quatrochi, the executive director of the Maryland Health Benefits Exchange. She spoke on Friday with Maryland Morning producer Rob Sivak. So while Maryland gears up to enroll more people into health insurance plans, there are many folks who won't be signing up because they can't afford private health insurance. They're the poorest of the poor, the indigent, the homeless. Providing medical care to this underserved and often hard-to-reach population is the mission of my guest this morning. Kevin Lindemood is the president and CEO of Healthcare for the Homeless, a national network of nonprofit organizations that's been doing this work since 1985. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Tom.
So what options do homeless people, you know, no income, no fixed address? What are their options when it comes to health care?
Well, it's interesting that we were listening to Carolyn Quatrochi just before this segment. Up until January 1st, 2014, there were very, very few options. The majority of the people that we've been serving for nearly 30 years at Healthcare for the Homeless lacked comprehensive health insurance. So there were community health centers, a program such as Healthcare for the Homeless, but largely uninsured, people couldn't access specialty services. So we could provide primary care, but not have any place to refer anybody. And while the state has had its challenges with the health benefit exchange, the story that's not really being told is how well the state of Maryland implemented Medicaid expansion. Maryland leaders pre-enrolled 96,000 people who were in a limited benefit program, the primary adult care program, at the end of 2013. And on January 1st, 2014, our patient population went from 30% with insurance, either Medicaid or Medicare, to 90%. Virtually overnight. And that has really transformed access to care for the population that we're working with. Of course, having an insurance card now, while it's helpful, doesn't immediately translate into access. And that's what an organization like ours is really trying to do.
So certainly one of the intents of Obamacare was to increase the eligibility for Medicare and Medicaid and widen the safety net. Sounds like the net is wider now than it was before.
Well, especially for Medicaid. When the Medicaid program was created in 1965, single disabled childless adults, so single adults that don't have kids, don't have a disability, they weren't eligible for Medicaid anywhere in the country. And so the majority of very low income, extremely poor people did not have access to care. That fundamentally changed with the Affordable Care Act. Of course, the Supreme Court made it optional rather than mandatory. And to date, there are 30 states plus the District of Columbia that have opted to expand Medicaid to that population. And Maryland is one and really leading the nation in that regard.
Obviously, Healthcare for the Homeless pretty much sums up what your mission is. Give us a sense of the scale of that mission. You know, you're based here in Baltimore.
Right.
How many folks do you serve?
Yeah, we started 30 years ago in a very modest collaboration of 32 organizations that came together to apply to a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant. We have then grown over the last 30 years to become Maryland's leading provider of comprehensive health services for men, women, and children experiencing homelessness. Comprehensive medical care, mental health services, social services and case management, addiction treatment, outreach, dental care, pediatric and adolescent services. This year in 2015, we'll serve 10,000 different people in Baltimore, Baltimore County, and with our mobile program that's going throughout the region, and we'll have 100,000 patient visits with them. And while Medicaid expansion now is really driving that growth, about 60% of our services are reimbursable through Medicaid or Medicare. 40% are not reimbursable. And they're the kind of services that really make an insurance card work, things like outreach to engage people into care and bring them into treatment.
You can't always count on their coming to your centers.
Well, what we've been finding is that we can't just sit back, design a really world-class healthcare system to treat people and expect them to come to us. We actually have to go out and take care to where people are. And so the new stability made possible by Medicaid expansion is allowing us to get out in the mobile clinic. As of December 9th, we'll be launching services deep into West Baltimore in partnership with Bon Secour. We'll be expanding our dental services, both at Healthcare for the Homeless at 421 Falls Way and in West Baltimore, really looking for more and more ways to take care to shelters, to soup kitchens, to where people are, and engage them in the services that they need to get off the streets and back into the mainstream.
So you're delivering the services as well as helping some of them get insured.
Exactly. We've got staff members that are actually helped by Carolyn Quatrochi's organization going out into the community and helping people enroll in Medicaid and then get connected to care at Healthcare for the Homeless or at other places in the community.
Because even if they're enrolled, it's not always a slam dunk that they have access to the services. I mean, sometimes there's transportation issues and there's all sorts of issues that prevent them getting to the clinics, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we fundamentally, homelessness is a symptom of poverty. and of the lack of affordable housing. And what we find and what we found over the last 30 years is that there's this very close relationship between homelessness and health status. If you're experiencing homelessness, you're likely to get sick. You're likely to get sicker if you don't get access to care. And homelessness itself seriously complicates treatment and continuity of care. How do you get across town? You don't have a bulletin board to put that little appointment card reminder up there. Where do you keep your medications if you're an insulin-dependent diabetic and living in a homeless shelter? And so we've tried to design a system over the last 30 years to overcome those barriers, engage people into care. And what we've found, Tom, is the very best way to end homelessness and improve health is to house vulnerable people and then give them the very intensive services they need to stay housed and off the streets. Our supportive housing or housing first programs, where we place people who have incredible vulnerabilities, medical, mental health, addiction problems, directly in housing, and then give them very intensive services. And what we find is that long-term, 85% or more stay housed and off the streets. What happens, we find, is that then their health problems, their overall health status improves, costs to the public system in the form of emergency room visits or incarceration go down. People experiencing homelessness are 3 to 4 times more likely to die prematurely than those who are housed. So it has a direct relationship to your health and really to your quality of life and life itself.
Kevin Lindemood is the president and CEO of Healthcare for the Homeless. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Sheila Cast will speak with Kathy Westcote, the president and CEO of Healthcare Access Maryland, today on midday at noon here on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Stay with us. Here's Nathan.